I have a particularly soft spot in my heart for this next speaker. He, to say the least, was not doing any better than the worst that you might be doing when he started. But by absolute determination, by paying close attention to detail, by asking countless questions, he has now become one of the most proficient handicappers at two tracks in Northern California, which are generally considered very tough to beat, as represented by the high mutuals they pay. Last season, for instance, the average mutual enjoyed by our experts up there was $14.80. Here is a man whom I refer to as Comrade Ivanovich, because he is of Russian descent, a man who is doing very well up there right now. Incidentally, a man who was a commodity stock and municipal bonds broker, so he knows the profit picture in two fields of investing, bonds, stocks, and he also knows the advantages of parimutuel wagering. Here's Ivan Toprakov.
My name is Bob Toprakov. I live in Pacifica in Northern California and attend Bay Meadows and Golden Gate racetracks. I started to study Dr. Sargent's methodology in August 1983 and found that the most important chapter to study is the dynamics of velocity. I suggest that you read and reread this chapter until you understand it thoroughly, for it really answers all of the questions you might have regarding the manual's instructions and interpretation of readouts. The next important chapter to me is qualifying the horses. Follow Dr. Sutton's guidelines and toto in qualifying the horses. Use the manual and the methodology therein in tandem with your handicapping. It is bound to improve your win average. If your selection of contenders is poor, use the pace line. A correct pace line helps you in your selection of contenders. Follow Dr. Sutton's advice and use the horse's last or second race back as your pace line. The pace line certainly helps me to select the best contenders in a race. Study distance adjustments and track-to-track adjustments continuously. Digest the information and practice on paper until you know what you are doing, why you are doing it, when you do what you do. This is very important. In order for you to become a winner at a track, you'll have to dispense of all of your old ideas. I realize that this isn't easy, but look at it as a career change. Forget your past notions and preconceived ideas and start your educational process from the very beginning, from the start, and re-educate yourself. Study the manual. Practice what you learn. Write down any questions you may have, but always study, and study Dr. Sargent's methodology. Should you still have any questions, write to Dr. Sargent. He shan't ignore you and shall answer you your questions. Remember, Dr. Sargent promises to help you, and he is a gentleman who keeps his promises. If in doubt, ask. The methodology really does work, but you have to make it work by studying, by practicing, and by applying yourself totally to the guidelines and principles given in the manual. There is no easy way to success. You have to study diligently. You have to believe in your subject matter. You have to believe in Dr. Sargent and his staff. And most important is to believe in yourself, for you can be either a winner or a loser. Dr. Sargent has given you the means of obtaining success. It is up to you to decide which you want to be. a winner or a loser. I consider myself to still be a student. For every race I handicap with Dr. Sarton's manual right next to the racing form, and I find myself referring to it quite frequently, always checking, double-checking, and cross-checking the manual against the racing form and against my results. I depend on Dr. Sarton's methodology without question, for he tells me I can do it if I follow his instructions. And I do. I follow his instructions thoroughly. And I win, gentlemen. I win, win, and win. My plan of action is play 3 to 4 races a day, handicap the races well, set your profit factor, and generate a steady income. Dutch your selection. Do not deviate from your plan of action once you have decided upon it. Remember, profit is the name of the game. Always prepare a pace line, a pace summary, and a compugraph. In fact, 2 compugraphs. The first is a raw compugraph for the first 3 fractions, and the other compugraph is for the pace summary. Line scores play a most important part in my selection of the top 2 horses. If 3 horses are 1 point apart, I play or dodge 3 horses instead of 2. Should my selection lose, I do a careful postmortem to find out why I lost the race and double check my winning races to find out why I won and what did I do well in my winning race as opposed to my losing race. Was it my fault? Was it racing luck? Or did I miss a point in the manual? When I don't go to the track, I practice and study at home, for I believe practice makes the master. I attended the final week at Bay Meadows and played 4 races on Wednesday, winning 4 races. 4 races on Thursday, winning 2 races. 3 races on Friday, winning 2 races. 3 races on Sunday, winning 3 races, for a 79% win average. Yes, you heard me correctly. A 79% win average and a profit of $950, dodging 2 to 3 horses. Mind you, this is only in a 4-day work week. My winning formula is perseverance, practice, and study. Studies do pay off handsomely. At the present time, I am preparing for Golden Gate Fields by studying the manual, studying the distance adjustment, and studying the track-to-track adjustment, and always practicing, ever practicing. I have a long way to go before I become a master. In the meantime, I can always count on Dr. Sarton to help me and to answer all of my questions. My success in handicapping is due entirely to Dr. Sarton and his unending patience with me. Thank you, Dr. Sarton, for all of your help. And I do trust that this small bit of information may be of some help to you handicappers. Thank you. Thank you and have a good day.
And thank you too, comrade. As you may have deduced, Bob, or Ivanovich as I prefer to call him, is the other member of the group who mixes intellectual pragmatism with an almost religious fervor in his approach to handicapping. For him and for John Nick, this philosophical approach mixed with the intellectual approach has paid handsome results. Well, we're hopping back from coast to coast. We go eastward now to a man who plays the New York, New Jersey, and Maryland circuits along with the New England circuit. A man who, not too many months ago, was beset with every problem you might be facing in selecting a pace line, in evaluating the contenders, and the readouts. But today, he is very, very successful and has been helping many of our eastern United States to achieve comparable success. Here is Barry Birkin.
I started working with Dr. Sutton's methodology. I was still so mentally convinced that there was some big secret to crack behind what successful racing entails that I didn't allow myself to realize that actually it was very straightforward what his method was talking about. I could have sworn that there was something almost mystical in finding what the right pace line to use would be and in getting the winning percentage, which I later found out really is a reality and that is within our realm to grasp. And so I'd like to give a couple of straightforward hints and suggestions that I've personally found that make a big difference in my own handicapping and pass them on. The first is that I realize that what I do before my day's handicapping and what I do after my day's handicapping are at least as important as the handicapping itself. And what I do before the handicapping is I always take a look at the result charts from the day before to determine what the track bias is going to be so I can make my prediction if I'm going to be betting front-running horses or closers on the day that I'm placing my bets. And of course, this is done, as Dr. Sutton's entailed in noting, where the winning horse and the place horse are at the second call of each individual race. And I keep this charted in a separate notebook so that I can notice what the patterns of the track and how that changes. And this will increase your accuracy a lot. What I do at the end of the day with my handicapping is I go back over all the winning horses, whether they were my selection or not, and I keep, again, in another notebook, and I just notice what traits or what readouts that horse was high in that I may have overlooked. And so that way I can tell if one factor or one particular readout is pulling in a larger percentage of winners than another. And this also can change from week to week. And by being aware of this, you can go along with the flow and stay right on top of things. I find that as long as I'm willing to change and keep a fresh, open outlook, I can stay on top of a very ordinarily tough game and do very, very well. Now, as far as in picking a proper pace line, what I do is, before I jump right in for the pace line itself, I just take very quickly, it's all 20, 30 seconds tops, to just quickly scan over the horse's entire past performances and just notice, and I personally, I like to write notes right in the column of the racing form itself, and notice what class level does the horse usually run in, what his usual running style is, what his winning level or winning distance seems to be, and also what his losing level or distance seems to be. In other words, very quickly get to know the horse, and especially I ask myself for every horse in the race, why is this horse in this particular race today? And I want to know, is the horse being put in today's race to stretch him out, build up his stamina, to develop a little early speed, or whatever. And by looking at the past performances in this light, you have a sharper point of view as to what the horse is going to probably be doing today because you know why he's in the race today. Now, as far as which pace race is going to be the most indicative for how the horse is going to be running in today's race, I'll say right off the top that personally I find that about 75% of the time the last race is going to be the pace line that I use. For one, not only does the last race going to give you your clearest indication about what the horse's most current form is, but also how the horse did or what he did in that last race is usually what prompts a trainer to enter that same horse in today's race. So I find myself that if I don't use the last race, I have to have a clear justification in my mind why I'm going further back. In other words, to go further back than the last race has to be, for me, the exception to the rule. Some reasons why I might go further back would be is if, let's say, the last race had an exceptionally high daily racing form variance, if it didn't know that the track was particularly off and the horse apparently wasn't able to handle it, or if the last race was run at a class level obviously higher than what the horse can handle, and it's going back down and it's class level today, or if the distance was one that was obviously off. You may also want to take a look at the trouble line and see if there was some legitimate excuse that would make the last race not be valid. For instance, if the horse was bumped or stumbled or something that was beyond the horse's control and probably wouldn't happen again. You know, in a case like that, I might look to the race before that. But even if you think that you're not going to use the last race for a pace line, take a second look at it before you toss it out, because sometimes, even, let's say, for example, the horse seemed to put in a mediocre performance and the last race was run at a higher class level today than today's was, a lot of times what appears to be a mediocre performance, when you actually take a look at what the internal fractions are, the velocity ratings at that higher class level looked only so-so at the higher class, but when you compare those same velocity ratings to today's competition, you might see that it's substantially faster. But again, the last race is usually a very good starting point, especially if you feel unsure. Percentage-wise, since I find about 75% of the time that is the most indicative one to use, it's not a bad place to start with. And then if something doesn't seem right to you, you can look further back. With just a little bit of practice, you'll surprise yourself and you'll see how insightful you become and how your judgment becomes sharpened, because it's really not a mysterious procedure. A horse very, very rarely really will make a very sudden, dramatic form reversal from one race to the next. It's not going to really go from finishing last place with no form at all and to suddenly be turning into a stakes winner overnight. There's almost all the time certain, maybe subtle or maybe obvious, indications over the last race or two that point to the eventual winner for today's race. So give it a shot, practice a lot, and have confidence. There's no reason in the world why you can't be a winner, because the method that you're working with is the very best. So good luck.
Larry Olson, coming up next, is a little older than many of the people you've heard so far, and he's somewhat more conservative, and he plays mostly off track. Playing off track, he takes advantage of various trifectas, quinellas, place betting, show betting, and other opportunities other than just betting to win in a race. Larry plays off tracks at the legal betting parlors in Mexico. Subsequently, he must analyze the peculiarities of five different tracks every day. Here's Larry Olson.
In terms of the basic guidelines of selecting a pace line that has the same distance, surface, and track as today's race under fast conditions, these cannot always be followed, but I abide by them as closely as possible. For those that understand the methodology as to how speed, class, and pace are derived, and the application of adjustments and variance, can many scan the past performance to find the optimum pace line. In order to do this, a small substitution of past performance numbers for digit smash numbers are necessary. Instead of these parameters being expressed as feet per second, I use the following. Speed, the form speed rating, ignoring the variant. For class, I use a class rating chart similar to that on page 55 of the manual. The class levels for a track usually played is easily remembered with use, so one only has to refer to it for shippers. For pace, I use a half-mile speed for both routes and sprints. I start a mini-scan by looking first at class, looking up and down the past performances to locate the races where the horse performed best by analyzing lengths behind the leader and or speed ratings. I feel it very important to arrive at the horse's best class and then mentally compare it with the level of today's race. Next, I scan the races since the cutoff date specified in the conditions, trying to locate a good race that is nearest to the horse's determined class. In doing this, I am partial to the most recent race if it is not below the class of today's race. In the event I find two races meeting this criteria, I will use the race having the highest half-mile speed. If still tied, I will accept the one of the two races with the highest speed rating. Standing requires a relaxed body and the use of both minds. When I have a good feel for whether the horse is in form or coming in and out of condition, I will alter the buff somewhat. For a horse in form or going out of form, I will attempt to use the most recent race. But with a horse coming into form, I will delve deeper into the past performance for a better race to base the pace line. I will not always throw out a race where the horse experienced troubles, such as being bumped at the start. If the horse did experience trouble and has gone ahead and run a good race and showed a respectable finish, I will not toss out this race.
As you can see, no one slavishly follows any rules, so-called rules, that I have laid down. Each person comes up with a personal deviation to find their proper pace line. And each one wins by application of their own ingenuity in conjunction with the methodology. Now, if you'll turn this tape over, I'll give you some of my own concepts about how to pick a proper pace line.